Hello, friends. How's it going? Welcome to the podcast. Before we get started with our show today, let me remind you about a couple partners of the podcast. First up, Prepped Ready Meals. Prepped and Ready, they offer healthy meals delivered straight to your door. All you have to do is pop them in the microwave. They're good to go. They deliver in all of Metro Atlanta area. They just partnered with a fitness app called Fit Genie to make deliveries even easier. Go to PreppedReadyMeals.com, use code BINGE10 at checkout for 10% off your order. That's BINGE10 for 10% off your order. Everybody loves healthy meals. Everybody loves meal planning. Well, now you can do it all in one. Go check these guys out. Support them again one more time at BINGE10 at checkout, PreppedReadyMeals.com. Our friends over at Rebel Boudoir. Have you ever wanted that boudoir session and needed the little nudge to finally do it? Well, now you do. Our listeners will get an automatic discount of $100 off their session fee when they book a session with Jillian at Rebel Boudoir. These sessions make an awesome, unique gift for your wedding day, anniversary, birthday, or it's just an excuse to rock that bod you've got. Go check out Jillian's work for reference on her Instagram at Rebel Boudoir or her website, rebelboudoirstudio.com. Mention us in your inquiry to get that discount. It's a great investment and an experience you definitely won't forget. And now, welcome to the show. It is time for the Binge Boys. Logan, Matt, and Mitch are back in the house. What up, gentlemen? What's popping?
All of it. It's all popping.
Oh, fuck. What up?
Did you guys, what'd you guys get into this weekend? Before I ask you about your weekend, I'll just hit those programming notes real quick. Follow us on Instagram, Binge Boys Podcast. That's where you see all of the updates and the reviews, all of the above, so you can get as plugged in as possible. Make sure you've rated and reviewed on Apple Podcasts, but if you listen on Spotify, Amazon, or Google, that's okay too. Just make sure you go and leave that rating on Apple. That's where it's most critical. What up, everybody? How was your weekends?
It was good. Are we locking it in time and saying that this was the weekend after this is the day after Halloween weekend?
This is we are the day after Halloween weekend recording this. By the time people hear this, it'll be election day. So happy election day. Hopefully everybody has their plan to go out and go vote. I'm not going to be another person telling you to go vote. Except I am, because I just did. So go vote. Go make yourself heard. But anyway, what'd you guys get into this weekend? What were you up to, Matt?
Not too much. Just chilling. Saw a few friends, and a girlfriend and I dressed up as Ariel and Prince Eric for Halloween. So good movie themed thing. I'll let you decide who was who.
You gotta throw us a pic to throw up on the Binge Boys story.
I don't know if there's any of the two of us, and so maybe not. I don't know. We'll see, though.
All right. You guys go to a small-time Halloween get-together or something? What'd you do?
Yeah, we just kept it low-key. Just some friends, bunch of dogs.
It'd be great if you answered and said, like, yeah, it was just us. We dressed up and watched movies together.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
What'd you get into, Mitch?
I just kind of relaxed and watched some football, you know, just chilled. That's pretty much it on my end. I didn't really do anything spectacular. Was going to stream some Halloween games, but that kind of fluttered out, but yeah, that's pretty much it. Just watch some football.
Word. I Thanks for asking, guys.
Sorry. What did you do, Logan?
I'm just playing. I had a pretty low key weekend as well. I dressed up as Shaggy, and girlfriend Catherine was Scooby. Kind of went to a little one of the other Binge Boys hosts. Shout out to Pearson. It was his birthday on Halloween. So we went over to his place. There was a few people there, kind of just socialized. Luckily, Halloween, a lot of people were wearing masks. Shouts to Halloween for being a party that allows masks, and it isn't weird or not normal, I guess. But yeah, we went and socialized for a while, got pretty litty. Called it a night, and was happy to reset the clocks back an hour. I'll say that. Not sure how you guys feel about that, but the extra hour really helped today. You agree, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I do have a slight story to this. I forgot to set my clock back, but I woke up like an hour earlier than I normally do. And so I'm trying to remember the exact time. Like, I think I woke up at like 8 o'clock or something is what my clock said, but it was like 7 o'clock. And I was like, oh, it's sweet. It's 8 o'clock. Like, I have like a couple of hours until football. So I was like, cool. And I get downstairs and sure enough, the clock says seven, or my phone says 7 o'clock. And I'm like, well, shit, what happened? And then I had to like figure out like, oh, the clocks went back, and then had to find a whole another stuff to do for another hour or so.
You hate to see it. That,
yeah. Shit happens, I guess.
Yep. Shit happens. Well, we got a lot, or we got a great epi today. Let's get right into it, fam. I realized that the American Music Awards already happened, so we're not going to talk about that. But instead, we're going to get right into some pretty exciting news. Netflix is making a live-action Assassin's Creed series. This is from an article from The Verge, to cite my sources. And in my plain view of sources, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 political ads on one screen. So I can't wait for, you know, a few days from now when that's no longer the case. But anyway, live action adaptation of Ubisoft's long running Assassin's Creed is coming to Netflix. The show will be the first of several new series Netflix announced. The agreement between Ubisoft and Netflix will, quote, tap the iconic game's trove of dynamic stories with global mass appeal for adaptations of live-action, animated, and anime series. The live-action show is still in early stages and is in need of a showrunner. It's also unclear what time period or what it will be about or whatever. It could be, you know, anywhere from the Crusades to the Vikings. In a statement by Netflix original series Vice President Peter Friedlander, great name, from its breathtaking historical worlds and massive global appeal as one of the best-selling video game franchises of all time, we are committed to carefully crafting epic and thrilling entertainment based off of this IP. All right.
There it is.
Netflix has already found success in a live-action adaptation of The Witcher starring Henry Cavill, and Netflix recently just announced a 6-part live-action prequel spinoff. The streaming service also revealed a live-action take on Resident Evil this year. What do you guys think about this? Are we confident in Netflix based on The Witcher? Did you guys watch The Witcher? What are your thoughts, Mitch?
Yeah, I watched The Witcher. I thought The Witcher was really good. I haven't played the games or read the books, so I was kind of going in without any real big expectations. but it turned out to be a pretty good show. I thought it was kind of like a slow burn at first and just kind of got better towards the end. And it makes me excited for what they can do with an Assassin's Creed title. I think that it would turn out better than the movie did a couple of years ago or whatever. But I definitely think that Netflix can – they have such a high budget now that – they can make good shows, and at least even if it only runs for like a season or two, but it should be pretty cool. And I think definitely fans are excited for it. What do you think, Matt?
I'm kind of split, because I just, like, as I was reading about it, that, you know, there's obviously no info about whether they're taking like Ezio or any of the other characters like from the games and like giving them like more story or like making up their own. But I feel like either way there's going to be like drawbacks, just because I feel like the series is kind of weird with its storyline and not like a super well-defined world and things. So I feel like it'll be tricky to, if they do pick like an original, make their own original character to like organically tie it into the universe and not just kind of put a final Assassin's Creed coat of paint on just like a generic action series. That's kind of my biggest concern about it. So we'll see. What are you thinking, Logan?
I'm a mix of both of you. I think I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, I watched the first few episodes of The Witcher. I never finished it. It wasn't like super duper amazing to me. However, like, I know the rest of the planet was obsessed with it. So, and then with Netflix announcing Resident Evil, I got excited. I've never really played any of the Resident Evil games. So like Mitch, I'll probably just go in blind to that. But I love Assassin's Creed. It's one of my favorite series of all time. They make really good games, especially more recently with some of their bigger, more open world titles, more RPG elements. So I don't know. I don't know if the move is to maybe go into Altair or Ezio or just completely make up their brand new character. Because Henry Cavill's playing the character that you play as in the game. It's not like they just made a series that's set in the world of The Witcher. It's about The Witcher. So who knows if it's it'll be Altair or Ezio. Do you have any ideal cast, like, for the main lead? Like, let's say it's an original character. I thought Michael Fassbender would be good. I mean, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like an assassin with that hood. Like, he looked like he sold the part in the costume to me. The rest of the movie just didn't deliver. You have any, like... I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
Yeah, I feel like it would definitely be kind of like not really a Henry Cavill type physique. Definitely more slender and quick and kind of gaunt faced. You got someone, Logan. I see it on your face.
This might be a stretch, but maybe Michael B. Jordan.
Ooh, I would love that.
That would be cool.
Maybe that physique. You know, he's not super duper buff, but he's not scrawny either.
Cut. Yeah,
he's cut. What do you think, Mitch? Anybody come to mind?
I don't know. The first person that came to mind was just Kit Harington. I thought, like, he's got, like, you know, the scruff. He's kind of slender. But at the same time, like, I don't think he'd be cast in something like that. I think he's probably not too big of a name. But, I mean, I saw him on – there's another show on Netflix that he just got cast in. Like the criminal show or something.
Yeah.
It's like a one series, like each episode's different or something. But that was the first person that came to mind as somebody that I could see playing like an assassin, because he's got like swords skill experience and stuff like that. Like maybe he'd do his own stunts or something if they did action scenes or something.
Yeah. Ooh, another name that just popped in my head. Tell me what you think about this guy. Sebastian Stan.
Yeah.
Just that physique.
I could see that. I could see him as being like a cast, but at the same time, like, he's got Winter Soldier going on, so I don't know if if that would necessarily happen. But
yeah, I'd almost want to go like use a character of like a with a bit of a different look. I feel like they've kind of done the European look a bunch. Maybe go for somewhere in Asia or, you know, a more recent setting, like with that could like be like Michael B. Jordan, like somewhere in America or, you know, I mean the rest of the world.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that would be cool.
We'll find out here more soon, hopefully. I mean, I really want to get a cast. I mean, there's so many possibilities. There's so many really good things they could do.
Yep.
What if they did a female assassin?
I would like that.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
I can see her being really cool.
I mean, ScarJo, of course, but Black Widow's kind of an assassin
I thought of ScarJo as well. I think, now, don't flame me for this. I think if she went through the right training and the right maturing, I mean, we haven't seen her on screen for years, and this has nothing to do with her looks. I'm just thinking of somebody who's like visually like, oh, like, wow, I can feel their presence.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Megan Fox.
That'd be quite that'd be a career shift. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be kind of a stretch for, for that, but,
I said it out loud, I disagreed with myself, but we'll move on to
maybe a side character. I can see playing a side character. But
if you really want Megan Fox in Assassin's Creed, just like throw it all the way back to high school there.
I really do want Megan Fox in Assassin's Creed now. guys, a trailer came out for another Netflix property that's releasing on December 23rd, and it's called The Midnight Sky. The Midnight Sky is a post-apocalyptic tale that follows Augustine, a lonely scientist in the Arctic, as he races to stop Sully and her fellow astronauts from returning home to a mysterious global catastrophe. This stars and is directed by George Clooney, and it stars a lot of good cast here. Felicity Jones, Kyle Chandler, Ethan Peck, Sophie Rundle. A lot of really cool names here. They released the trailer the other day. What do you guys think about it, Mitch? What are your thoughts here?
When I saw the trailer, I thought that it was really, really cool. It kind of reminded me of the previous, you know, space like space movies, you know, like that we've gotten in the past, you know, like you're The Martian or Interstellar and maybe a little bit of Gravity in there too, just because it has like the communication between like a space station and Earth, I believe is like the premise. Like they're trying to contact the space station and let them know that Earth is not like habitable. And I think that the premise is pretty basic. I think there's probably going to be some like twists and turns in there that make it like its own original type of movie. But the castings for all the characters seem really great. It's kind of cool because I haven't seen a movie with George Clooney in it in a while. So I think that'll be cool. I don't know. I mean, like it seems like it's Netflix's own adaptation for a space movie, because I don't think they've had one. So I think it'll be cool. Matt, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so I really liked your comparisons of those space movies. I definitely got those vibes for like the sort of half the movie. Then the other half made me think of like The Last of Us, just the guy and young girl adventure across like a wasteland, or it was a book called The Road that was about a dad and his son like traveling across. So I feel like that's kind of like another touch point like they're going for. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I didn't realize when I was watching it that Clooney was directing, and so I just checked all the ones that he's directed, and it's only, you know, five or six, and I haven't seen any of them. So hopefully he's got the chops for it. He's rocking a big bushy beard, which he still, you know, pulls off because he's, you know, George Clooney. So, but yeah, I think it looks cool. I think it'll be a nice Christmas treat. Watch this and then get ready to watch the Pixar Soul. What about you, Logan?
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think Mitch said it really well. I got vibes of a mixture of Interstellar and The Martian here. Kind of like a action-packed space-looking drama. But I don't know. Like, it's got a good cast. I'm one of the few people that truly, really, really loves Kyle Chandler. Like, I'm a Kyle Chandler stan ever since I watched Friday Night Lights. That's Coach Taylor.
I Googled it and there it is.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's Coach. That's Coach you're talking about. And George Clooney also looks badass with his long beard, and the snow on the beard looks pretty tight. And yeah, I'm sold. I'm going to watch it. I think it'll be cool. It looks definitely more epic than every other movie that we've gotten this year, which isn't saying much because we haven't gotten any really good crazy movies this year. but yeah, I'm intrigued. Netflix, again, you know, like Mitch just said on the previous segment, their budget is just like, all these movies look insanely expensive to make. I don't know if what you guys think, but like, it looks like they're killing it. They're really, really killing it. So
yeah, no expense spared on this. So maybe that makes me more excited for the Assassin's Creed now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. So we'll see. Next up, we got the unfortunate news of the passing of Sean Connery. This kind of came out of left field. Sean Connery originated the role of James Bond. Apparently, he had dementia the last few months of his wife, said his wife. He died at age 90 in the Bahamas. His wife said that the actor was not able to express himself. It was no life for him. At least he died in his sleep. It was so peaceful. Connery played Bond in Dr. No, from Russia with Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball, You Only Live Twice, Diamonds Are Forever, and Never Say Never Again. I think that, unless I'm sadly mistaken, that is the most anybody has played James Bond since the original. Am I wrong there?
I think you're right.
I mean, it almost like gives Batman vibes where an actor will pick up two or three movies and then bounce.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's his name? Daniel Craig has played it in five movies maybe. So yeah, that's the reporting there. Sean Connery has passed away, a great actor. Any closing thoughts there? You want to just keep rolling?
Yeah. Keep rolling. Yeah.
Keep rolling. RIP.
Yep.
RIP. Next up, it's time to talk about Borat.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, you kind of crushed it.
We got Borat, subsequent movie film. It was directed by Jason Wallener, written by Sacha Baron Cohen, and it stars Sacha Baron Cohen and a bunch of others. Tom Hanks is in there playing Tom Hanks. Weird. But anyway, Matt, did you get a chance to watch Borat 2?
No, I did not, and I didn't. I haven't seen the first one. You know.
Oh.
Yeah, big confession being dropped here. So I feel like, I just didn't get around to it this weekend.
All right, then we will let you sit this one out, and me and Mitch will take it because I know Mitch watched it.
That is not good.
The movie is it wasn't pleasant.
It was all right.
It was all right.
I want to try a voice like the whole review. But I know that's probably we're losing viewers or listeners as
per so word. I thought of the movie that it started out really slow, but I think it was entertaining for what it was. You know, this is a Borat movie. We're not expecting Oscar worthy content here. It's basically a movie that's being filmed by some dude following Borat around, and Borat's gonna do stupid things, and he's got a quest. His quest in this movie, essentially, if I've picked up on it correctly, the leader of his country comes to him and says, hey, Donald Trump has made peace with pretty much every other world leader except us. Why don't you go to America and offer him a gift so that he will befriend our nation? And Borat is like, sounds good.
It's a very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice.
My wife. and that's the movie. This might not... So essentially, he tries to give his daughter as a gift to Michael Pence.
Okay, all right.
Just saying the plot out loud just gives you everything you need to know about this movie. I'll let you go into it, Mitch. Just give the people your thoughts.
Okay, so now I haven't seen the first movie in quite a while. But when that movie came out, it was, you know, it was great. Like, just the fact that it's like, it's a mockumentary. So it's kind of like a documentary, but they just, some of it's scripted, some of it's not scripted, material. So, going into the second one, I was kind of like, how much of this is going to be scripted compared to, what's not scripted in the movie, because so many people know who Borat is and they kind of like touch on that in the movie. He's like running down the street and people are like trying to get pictures with him. And he's like, no, you can't. he like has like a whole side quest of like trying to find a disguise and stuff. And that's pretty funny. And there's a show that Sacha Baron Cohen has done on Showtime where he has a lot of like side characters that he's done, you know, like Ali G, if you've ever seen Ali G. I'm trying to think of the name of the show, but he does different impressions on that show. And that kind of comes in and helps him basically throughout this Borat 2 movie, because he's able to put on these other disguises to like hide his self from being Borat. But he's still playing the Borat character through these other disguises. And it's a lot to try and take in and watch and stuff. And there's really, some of this movie hit the news for being like pretty controversial, and I don't know if we necessarily want to talk that controversy, but I mean, like, this movie was pretty funny, but also, I mean, it just kind of fell flat when it came to making something that was like newer content. It's mostly just like touching on stuff that's already been necessarily like not overdone in the past like couple of years, but like, I don't know. This is hard to talk about because it's like, I'm like walking on a thin line here of like trying to not get like political in a sense, but it is somewhat a political movie. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'd be like, it may not be for some people. And obviously the people that it's probably for, it's also not really for them either. It's kind of just like Sacha Baron Cohen just kind of making this movie to like just kind of fuck around with, with people and stuff. So, I mean, it's pretty funny. Like, it's got some moments, but I think that it's cool that he has his daughter in the movie. Not his real daughter, but like the character that plays the actor, the actress that plays his daughter is pretty funny in the movie. Like, there are some just funny moments from her character. And, you know, there's still some good, solid Borat quotes. My name is Borat Margaret Sakdiv. You know, just the classic Margaret middle name. I thought it was hilarious for some reason. And just, you know, just a lot of callbacks from the first one. And just, I don't know. It's just, it's a funny time if, you know, if you're watching on a weekend. I feel like I've talked too much about this movie now. I've been talking for probably like 5 minutes. But like, I don't know. It's funny if you're like watching it on a weekend with friends or something. So,
yeah, I'll Mitch hit it pretty well. The movie might, I don't know, offend people who are like, who can't take a joke about their political party. I can say that I can take a joke about mine. So this movie didn't hurt my feelings really. Sometimes it feels like it's trying to hurt feelings, but like Mitch said, it's for some people, but then it's really not even for the people that it's for. It's still very racist and just like the first one was. It's just racist. It's stupid. He makes really inappropriate comments towards women. It's just a guy who, You got to think the character, not Sacha Baron Cohen. He knows what he's doing, but the character doesn't know what he's doing. Like, personally, I think the best scenes of the movie were the ones where he was in a disguise. Like, he would have these horrible disguises. Like, he would have, like, he'd be in a full suit with, like, long brown hair and, like, big 70s glasses. And he'd be like, which way to the diner? And it's like, what is this guy doing? And what I found really cool, and I don't know if they did some, just had some really well editing stuff here, is there's a scene in the movie where, obviously, like I said before, he's trying to give his daughter to Pence. And he goes to a Pence rally or a Pence speech or something. And Pence is like there. It's not an actor. It's Mike Pence. And they must have just taken cameras footage from that event and then shot scenes of like a crowd separately and just wove it in really well, because for a second there I was like, did Mike Pence agree to do this movie? Like, why the fuck, how is this happening? Like, but yeah, it was really funny. I mean, but it's no amazing movie. I mean, it's like Mitch said, if you and your buddies are together and you're drinking and you see it, you're like, oh my God, we watched Borat back in middle school, then yeah, flip it on. It'll be funny. You'll enjoy your time. But if you're just a dude that's like, I wonder if Sacha Baron Cohen's latest comedy is going to hold up, then don't watch this movie. You will be disappointed. Yeah, I wouldn't rush out to see it, Matt. I mean, it is free on Amazon. Yeah. So check it out. But if not, then this movie can just fuck off.
Yeah, I think it'll be forgotten about in the next few weeks. I haven't heard many people say super glowing things about it. I think you guys were nicer on it than a lot of other people.
I think so. But I'm curious here. Next Seggy, Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 1. Matt, you made a comment a while back saying you haven't seen Season 1.
This is true.
Are you sitting this segment out?
I am sitting this other one, this next segment out as well. I know. Yeah, Mitch, I'm sorry.
Do you plan on watching the show?
I do, but I also do not care if you spoil it. That's on me at this point.
Okay. I don't want to spend too long of on this because we have to go into the top 10 yet, but
I mean, I think with
oh rip, there's a fucking delay.
Am I on a delay now?
Just bounce, Mitch, and I will
shit.
I will edit it and I'll add you back in. I'll do the little intro here. Okay, so Mandalorian 2, Season 2, Episode 1 recap. The Marshal was the title of this episode. We got Mandalorian Season 2. It's here. It's finally here. This might be the saving grace of 2020 because we get to see our sweet boy back in action. No, I'm not talking about the Mandalorian. Yes, I'm talking about Baby Yoda, which hopefully we find out this season what his name is. But he's still going to be called Baby Yoda, even if they give his name. His name's going to be something like spacey and cool sounding, but no, everyone's gonna keep calling him Baby Yoda. The merch is gonna be called Baby Yoda. Like it's that's just how it's gonna be.
The so, Facebook moms have it at this point.
Yes, exactly. Facebook moms aren't gonna want to know the real name. So yeah, the chapter 9 is the first episode. It's titled The Marshal. So yeah, there's not much to talk about except for the spoilers.
Go for it.
Mitch, did you, first of all, premiere episode was an hour, which was really nice. What are your thoughts here, Mitch? Did you enjoy the return to the Mandalorian?
I did enjoy this episode. It was a lot to try and, you know, take in after I watched the episode before the episode 8 or whatever, the last episode of season 1 before watching this first episode of season 2. And just to kind of get my bearing straight of where we were going to be, the stuff that was going to be talked about. And I was kind of I was a little bit upset that we didn't kind of pick up right where the end of season 1 leaves us. There's going to be so many different storylines, I think, this season in particular they're going to have to change up the pacing of each episode, I guess. This episode 1, I felt like the pacing of the episode was great. But that's because we were talking about a storyline with basically the Mando is coming into a situation where he has to find the Baby Yoda's kind, his kind of people or whatever, or bring him to where he's supposed to take him or something. And essentially he goes back to Tatooine and runs into some familiar faces from season 1. And we end up getting a look at somebody that I thought prior to this was going to be the actual person, but wasn't. And we get to see the Marshal, which is who the episode's named after, played by, I think, Timothy Oliphant.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially his character's seems really cool. And I've really enjoyed his character in the episode. And the main dilemma throughout the whole episode was kind of cool. The Mandalorian tries to basically help this town that the Marshal is the Marshal of. And he also ends up working alongside these local sand people, which are really, that was a really cool interaction, I thought. And they have to defeat this like dragon monster thing, this sand dragon monster. I don't know what the exact name is, but it was like really cool and well done the way that they do it, especially if you know like how they shoot the show. It's not on a like specific location set. It's on a like basically like green screen or like LED screen. So yeah, I think that's like the main rundown of the episode, but I would have to say that I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the teaser at the end. If we want to talk about that, Logan, we can. But what are your thoughts on this episode?
I really enjoyed the pacing as well. I thought it was a great return. I liked that they didn't give it... they didn't like do what most shows do, you know, after a break. It's kind of, they kind of like reintroduce all of the characters again. No, this literally picks up as if you already know who Baby Yoda is and who the Mandalorian is. There's no like introduction, and it's just like boom, and you're in it. And it's like, okay, so we're here. We're literally in it. Yeah, I mean, the Marshal, I called it when I was watching it with my roommate. I was like, this Marshal is going to be a dude wearing something. And yeah, that the Marshal was wearing Boba Fett's armor. And I was like, holy shit. Cause when you first see him, he's wearing the armor and you're like, holy shit, it's Boba Fett. Then he takes his helmet off and it's not Boba Fett. It's the Timothy Oliphant guy. So they're kind of like teasing you the entire episode. The fact that like, this is Boba Fett's armor, but Boba Fett is, he's obviously dead. He fell into that pit at the end of Return of the Jedi or whatever, you know? So he's definitely dead. But yeah, I really enjoyed the whole scene with them fighting the giant, the dragon, the crate dragon is what it's called. It says here on this article. So yeah, I really enjoyed the whole, whatchamacallit, the whole interactions with the Raiders, those guys from A New Hope. Those guys.
Was that a sound bite?
No, that's me.
That was a really good impression, yeah.
So, of course, we got our fair share of Baby Yoda cuteness. Cute little shots of him just cooing. You know, I love the subtitles. It just says cooing whenever he likes speaking. And yeah, I mean, we could talk about that final little moment. There's not much else to say about the episode other than the fact that it's beautifully shot, of course, beautifully filmed. Like Mitch said, the way they film it is super cool. There's a cool documentary series on Disney Plus. It came out this year. It's called like The Gallery or something.
Yeah.
And it shows you how The Mandalorian was made. So if you haven't watched that, definitely check that out. It's really cool. Yeah, that final moment, man, you see the real Boba Fett, and, he is, I hope we said spoiler warning, but yeah, we did. You've watched it. If you give a shit.
Well, spoiler, it could be somebody else. That's not Boba Fett. It could be a clone. It could be a clone. So
yeah, it could be
Captain Rex, maybe.
Ooh,
that's what I was thinking. I was like, what if they decide to go like a completely different route and not show Boba Fett at all?
Shit. I took that as it was. Baby Yoda. I thought that was Boba Fett and only Boba Fett. Like, I never even thought about the fact that.
I mean, I think it's probably Boba Fett. Like, it makes probably the most sense that it'll be Boba Fett, but it would be cool if they added, if they decided to like throw a curveball in there. But I don't know. Because so, they've got like so many storylines for this season that, and characters that they have to introduce. So it's going to be interesting.
We've still got the reveal of Ahsoka Tano coming. She wasn't even discussed or spoken of or anything in this episode. So we'll hopefully see her soon in a few episodes or not. I doubt they'll go back to back on iconic characters with Boba Fett this episode and Ahsoka next episode. I'm sure there'll be a little break. She'll probably show up like 3 or 4 episodes in. I guess Boba Fett escaped the Sarlacc pit in the Return of the Jedi, and it looks like he's just been chilling. How he got out, who the fuck knows, because he clearly, very clearly was eaten by this thing. Sounds like he wants his armor back. That's the vibe I got here. That dude's got his armor and he wants his armor back. Also, a cool Easter egg there. This is the first time we've ever seen Boba Fett's face as an adult. You see Jango Fett's face in Attack of the Clones, I believe, before he gets yeeted by Samuel L. Jackson. this is the first time we've seen him, which is pretty dope. This article kind of dives into your thoughts there, Mitch, that what if this is a clone? This article also says what if it's Commander Rex? So I think the vibe that they're trying to get you to go for that it's Boba Fett, but hell, it could be Rex, because everyone's obviously thinking, you know, just like me, when they showed Boba Fett's armor, everyone got super excited. It's like, oh my god, it's Boba Fett. But no, it's not. It might be, but I don't know. There's a lot to think about there, but it was cool to see Mos Eisley again. That was a really cool little area. But yeah, you got any closing thoughts on this episode, Mitch, before we move on to our top 10?
No, that's about it.
Good deal. Good first episode. Good to be back in The Mandalorian. Can't wait to watch episode 2 next week. But we'll close this bad boy out today, as always, with a top 10 this week. Because it was Halloween on Saturday, I think we decided to go with our top 10 candies. I don't think this one will take 30 minutes to discuss, because I doubt 3 grown men are going to debate how good or bad take candy is.
Just wait.
You ain't ready for this. So as always, I'll start us off with our number 10 and we will go down the list. All right. Where is it? Where the hell is it? Oh, here we go. Okay. My number 10 is Skittles. Matt, what about you?
My number 10 is root beer barrels. Kind of a specific choice, yeah.
When you sent it to the group chat, are you talking about those? Are they almost like plastic on the outside and you just like drink the root beer in it?
No, they're like wrapped, like I think like they're like A&W like branded. There's like little like hard candies and you just like pop them out the wrapper and they just taste like root beer.
Huh. Yeah. I'll have to give that a shot. I love root beer. That root beer is my favorite soda. So I'll
there
have
you
to
go. Give that a
shot. What do you got, Mitch?
I got the classic Hershey's chocolate bar.
Oh.
Just classic.
Do you eat it square by square? Do you bite right in?
Oh,
that's a good question. I go square by square.
Okay.
I always just break it off and then just go one at a time because I'm a s'mores guy too. So it's like, I would do it for s'mores as well. So, that's what I got at number 10.
Gotcha.
Logan, what do you got at
For my number nine, I've got Swedish fish.
Okay.
A candy that I've learned that you either absolutely hate or absolutely love. There is no like, eh, they're all right. Like sometimes I take a bite out of Swedish fish and think, is it weird that I like these? Because they taste really weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Swedish fish, my number nine. What you got, Matt?
My number nine is Jolly Ranchers. Just the classic hard candies as a whole. Probably my favorite is their watermelon or grape. Just was never a big chocolate guy as a little kid, so you'll see that trend throughout. Mitch, what's second to last on your list?
I got Milk Duds on number nine.
Well, I know you like your Milk Duds.
Milk Duds was my like go-to movie theater candy for the longest time. So not great for your teeth, but can't go wrong with some milk chocolate and caramel. So Logan, what do you got at number eight?
I got, I just realized there's a candy on here that's not on here. That's amazing. Damn it. That's
just hit it with an honorable mention.
Honorable mention, Laffy Taffy. Love Laffy Taffy.
You just like the jokes, don't you?
Oh, yeah. My little happy ass chuckles at the jokes before I eat the candy. Number eight, Runts. Runts. The little hard banana, fruity. I think it's Wonka. I think that's the company. Their little fruity candies. Always have loved them. The bananas are obviously the best.
Mm-hmm.
Runts at number eight. What you got, Matt?
When I shared my list with someone, they thought this one was kind of a deep cut. Chewy sweet tarts. So not just like the classic like disc ones, but it's like little like balls, and they sort of come in like a plastic container. Gross. You can like pop it. Yeah, just like pop open and have like one at a time. I'd always have them on like long drives as a little kid. So it's probably my nostalgia pick for this one. So yeah, Mitch, what's on your number? What's number eight on your list?
I have Mike and Ike's at number eight. Just a classic, another classic candy. I like the green and red, the cherry and lime flavored. So, those would be my go-to for number eight. Logan, what do you got at number seven?
I'm surprised Mike and Ike's didn't make my list, because growing up, that was like one of my favorite candies. So I'll throw that as an honorable mention as well. number seven, I got another Wonka. You'll see that trend here. Or actually, that's it. Wonka. Unless my number one's Wonka and I don't know it. Bottle caps. Kind of the underrated sweet tart. Or the sweet tart's redheaded cousin. I'm a Mitch didn't like the redheaded joke. Kind of going back to that soda flavor candy. There's like a root beer cap, a grape cap. I'm high on Wonka right now, because when I went and got Halloween candy that we were supposed to pass out to children at our apartment, I ended up eating all of it. And bottle caps were heavily featured, and I was not upset about it. Bottle caps. Got that one from my mom. I never would have probably had them otherwise, but go for it, Matt.
Well, I'll hit my honorable mention. I realized after Mitch said Milk Duds were his go-to movie theater candy, mine turned into Bunch of Crunch, which is just nice little unique little thing, but didn't quite crack the list because I forgot about it. But my official number seven is Starburst. Again, more fruit candy, kind of like the soft texture of it. Yeah, just nothing else to say. Mitch, what you got at number seven?
At number seven, I have Twizzlers. Twizzlers, you know, just classic strawberry flavored. I don't like any of the new flavors that they have now for Twizzlers. But that would probably be like another like movie theater type candy that I don't normally get a whole lot, but would be up there. Like I guess like that I was like getting confused with this list because I kept thinking like, well, what do I take to the movie theater? And but Twizzlers at number 7 for me. Logan, what do you have at number 6?
I'll give another honorable mention. Candy is really hard for me. I love candy. My whole family does. Shout out to Austin. Hopefully Austin's listening to this. Austin got me hooked back in high school on Bunch of Crunch. I think I tried one of his for the first time, and he was like, I was going to do my impression of Austin, but I can't find it. It's like, I can't do it. It's a Crunch bar, but I can't do an Austin impression. You know who you are, Austin. He's listening. Hopefully, if you're not, you suck. But if you are, text me as soon as you hear this. That way I'll know. My number 6 is kind of a weird one that not many people will know. It's Lego candy. It's not officially branded by Lego. However, they are Lego blocks. And they taste really freaking good. you can't really buy them like at like a store, like or a candy aisle that you would find. It's almost like you got to go to like one of those like old timey candy shops,
like a boutique candy store. Yeah, they always seem to have them.
Like you'll see them at Whole Foods or something instead of like a Walmart. They're not bougie by any stretch of the word. And a little secret: don't eat too many at one time because you will shit for days. I love them, but they will destroy your insides. So if you're ever in need of like some, if you're ever constipated or anything, just throw back a couple of the blue ones specifically. They will, they will ruin your life, but still, a top tier candy for me. What you got for your number 6, Matt?
This is a candy that, to my, you know, knock on wood, has never caused me any, intestinal distress. just the classic Twix. I like the sort of cookie that's in there. Don't come at me with the BS right Twix versus left Twix stuff. It's just stupid. They're all the same. Just enjoy your damn Twix. Mitch, enjoy what's your number 6?
At number 6, I have Sour Patch Kids. You know, I'm a go-to for the sour candy. My go-to for sour candy sometimes is obviously Sour Patch Kids. And I always go for like the blue and green ones, like the lemon and blueberry flavored or whatever, raspberry flavored. Those would be my favorite. Because, yeah, they're awesome. Logan, what do you got for number 5?
Number 5, I'll match you, Mitch, and I'll say Sour Patch Kids. I love them. Nice. As well. I really am a big fan of the watermelon Sour Patch Kids. I also like the recently big Sour Patch Kids. They're taller. They're like probably 2 inches tall. But they're more flat. They're not as thick, but very sour. My mouth's watering just thinking about it. go ahead, Matt.
All right. My number 5 is Snickers. It's like a candy that like I eat one and then I like feel full. I think it's like from those ads, like you're hungry or you're not yourself when you're hungry. So it's like, oh, so Snickers is like a real food. Like, you know, you eat that and you're good for the rest of the day. But then I just eat like 4 more and it doesn't really help. But also the Snickers ice cream bar, sneaky shouts to that, kind of like a good like movie theater or just gas station grab. So yeah, number 5, Snickers. Mitch, what barely cracks your top 5?
I have the at number 5, I have the whatchamacallit candy bar. You know, classic caramel, peanut butter, chocolate. And I believe there's like a wafer, like a crisp cookie in there as well. But it's, you know, it's a whatchamacallit. I just love saying it.
Yeah.
And it's good. So that's what cracked my top 5. Logan, what do you got at number four.
Kit Kat. Big Kit Kat guy. I'm not a huge chocolate guy either, Matt, but I do really do enjoy a Kit Kat. I've recently discovered the Big Cats, I think they're called, which is just one bar, but it's split into three chunks, and it's like fat. It's like, I don't know, it's dummy thick. I don't know how to describe it. But I love me some Kit Kat. If I had to throw some chocolate on there, it had to be Kit Kat. What you got, Matt?
For number four, peanut M&Ms. They're just kind of a candy that it seems like my parents always have out, like in a bowl when I go to visit, and I have to physically remove it from being within arm's reach from me because it's, you can just mindlessly eat 30,000 of them and you just don't even notice. They're just so good. It's like the keep your ears peeled for combinations of chocolate and peanut flavored in the next few entries. But yeah, starting that trend off with peanut M&Ms at my number four. Mitch, what you got next?
I also have the Kit Kat at number four. I'm surprised this one didn't, like, it was hard for me to, like, my top four, I would say, was just the struggle of what to put in my top four, like how to rank them. But I have the Kit Kat at number four. And like Logan said, there's the new big Kit Kat that is pretty dummy thick. And they're pretty good too. So, Logan, what do you have at number three?
My number three is Airheads. Maybe a blanket statement, really. I love all Airheads, like the long bars traditionally, but then there's like the mini Airheads that you get in the mega pack, and then there's the Airhead chews. Those slap. Let me tell you, the Airheads slap. They slap. I really enjoy those. I find myself sometimes in a bad mood just going to the grocery store and snagging a pack of Airheads, because I can eat 50 of them and not feel like a total piece of shit. What you got, Matt?
My number three is probably like my favorite candy like ever. Skittles, just the classic red bag, you know, sort them, all taste a little bit different. In theory, at least. Sometimes they don't. But nothing I can say about them that hasn't been said. So we'll move on. What you got, number three, Mitch?
I've got the Take Five chocolate bar at number three. Now, I know I'm like, I need to pull it up real quick, but to get all of what's in it, because I have no idea what's... it's like pretzel chocolate. I believe it's like caramel or peanut butter. I don't even know if they make them anymore because I have a hard time like finding them in places. So it's like a rare candy. If I do find it, like I'll grab it at the gas station or something. So if they have one, cause it's not really a candy that I see very often. Now they have like Reese's Take Five, which are pretty good, but the classic Take Five is no longer as on the market as it was. Logan, what do you got at number two?
This is something that's risen up my list in the past couple years, and that's gummy bears. I really freaking love gummy bears, man. Also another bad day candy, like a go-to, or if I'm having a late night, like back in school, like in my last couple years, I would just like go get an energy drink and a big bag of gummy bears and it would keep me up. They're easy to eat. This is going to sound wrong and I don't care. You don't even have to swallow. You don't even have to chew them. You can just swallow them, which is kind of psycho move. I get it. It probably makes them harder for my body to digest them. That's probably why I'm fat. There's probably just like hundreds of gummy bears just laying in my stomach.
Undigested, yeah.
But yeah, I love gummy bears, man. Gummy worms, not as big of a fan. Harder to swallow, I'll say that. but yeah, man, I love me some gummy bears. Can't wait to eat some next time I have some. What you got, Matt?
My next one is the Hershey's cookies and cream. Like I said, when I was a little kid, I didn't like regular chocolate, but I loved white chocolate and I loved Oreos. So maybe I actually did like chocolate. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, man, I to this day, like, I still eat this if I want like a candy bar. And to answer my own question that I put to Mitch on his number 10, the classic Hershey's, I also eat them square by square. So I haven't had these on a s'more. I don't think it'd quite be as good, but just in every situation.
That sounds like it would be pretty good on a s'more.
It wouldn't be bad. No one's saying it'd be bad. But yeah, that's – yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah.
All right. What's your runner-up, Mitch?
I have peanut M&Ms at number 2. Like you said, Matt, you know, if there's a bowl of them out, you tend to just keep going for more. And it's hard to stop. And even if you have a bag of them, it's just kind of like difficult to just put them down and set them away for later. And you just like end up eating the whole bag. And, but yeah, peanut M&Ms, they are my number 2 favorite candy. What do you got at number 1, Logan?
I'm going to piggyback off of what Matt said earlier about his road trip candy. Sweet Tarts are my number 1. Also something that popped up in recent years, maybe the past 3 years. I've never hated Sweet Tarts. I did used to hate the kind of residue that it leaves on your fingers after you eat a bunch of them. Kind of like a chalky type feel, but man, mm-hmm. I love me some Sweet Tarts. Every single time I eat Sweet Tarts, I ask myself the same question. I like, where'd they go? Like, because I just eat, like, there's no chance that I'm opening a box of Sweet Tarts and not finishing it because I'm American. I'm not a quitter, everyone. I open a damn box of candy and I'm gonna finish it.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love Sweet Tarts. I like the chewy ones. Not a big fan of the ropes. Those are kind of just too sugary.
Yep.
But yeah, man, Sweet Tarts, go-to travel snack. I think I agree with Matt. Easy to eat. Those blue Sweet Tarts, man. Dude, and the grocery store will sell like those Sweet Tart rolls for like 75 cents. I'll just go and get like 12 of those bitches.
And crack like, them 4 at like, a time.
Some people have a pencil box at their desk. I have a box of Sweet Tarts. So I'll fuck up some Sweet Tarts. That's my favorite candy. What you got, Matt? What's your number 1?
My number 1 is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I mean, I guess I should have just said Reese's peanut butter, whatever, because I'll eat bats, I'll eat pumpkins, I'll eat eggs, I'll eat hearts, any of them. They're so good. We're talking about things to put on a s'more. That's the goat. It's, oh yeah, I think I've had 4 today already. So this is the only candy I can say that I've eaten today. So I think that alone gives it the number 1 spot. What you got, Mitch?
I also have the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. You can't go wrong with it. You just can't. It's the best candy out there.
Are you guys in the camp of getting this? My parents do. My dad loves Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. He will get them, and then he will throw them in the freezer.
I never can plan that ahead. I want them.
I've done it a couple of times, and they're pretty good after they've been in the freezer. But yeah, that is something that you kind of like have to like think of. Like, I don't always do that. I do that if I've gotten like a pack of them from the store or something, and then I come home and I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't eat these right away. So then I throw it in the freezer. So, and then I just won't think about them for like a week or so.
And then you'll get really excited because you'll open up the freezer and be like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, good deal. There's our favorite candies. Hope everyone had a fun and safe Halloween. And that was episode 146 of The Binge Boys. As I said at the top, follow us. Binge Boys Podcast. You can follow our socials too. You'll see us there. We're tagged in every post. Apple and Spotify, Google and Amazon as well. If you, that's where you listen to. Lovely to be on all those platforms, to be as open to as many people as possible. If you have a segment recommendation, you want to talk us to talk about a certain movie or an album or something, you can go to the Watchdog Media website. And if you go to the Our Shows tab, when you click Binge Boys, if you scroll down on that page, there'll be like a topic suggestion where you can put your name and your email and a message that you could type to us. If you got some feedback, you can do that there too. If make sure you've left that rating and review. Important. Maybe if we get a bunch of good reviews, we'll just read some of them off, because a good review is funny. So just make sure it's a good one, though. 5 stars. Don't be like that one douchebag that just total trashed us. Yeah, I'm talking to you, total douchebag. If you're listening, if you're listening and you wrote that shitty of a review, then just go back and leave a positive one. Like, clearly we're not that shitty. If you're still listening. Yeah, hope everyone has a solid first week of November. Go out, vote, stay safe, and stay sane. At the end of the day, we're all still people. We're all... This is my attempt at making a speech that's unifying. Don't elect me. If I run, I can't make unifying speeches. Just don't tear your neighbors apart. Yeah. We're all still people. Just go out and exercise that right you have. Go vote. Everybody, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Register to vote.
It's probably too late, but go try it anyway.
Go vote.